Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
You know, we're talking about building bridges today, and I love to build stuff. I love to build stuff since I was little. I used to live in Jefferson County before Jefferson County was cool enough to have a Walmart. And I also love, I like big things, and I think it's because I'm really tall. And I know that I'm really tall for a fact because I meet a lot of y'all in the lobby and you go, "You're tall." And so I picked up that fact. And then you can also see people talking, you know, in the crowd while you're preaching, and I see people go, "She's got flats on today. And look how tall she is with flats on. Can you imagine if she wore heels?" And so, in case you're wondering, I'm 5'10 3/4". I just go ahead and say 5'11" tall. I'm almost 6 foot with my flat feet. I just like big stuff. So since, you know, if you're big, you like big stuff. And like when Austin was like 3 years old, we would go to the pumpkin farm. And I would, for some reason, find the biggest, like, 50-pound pumpkin. And here I would. I'd have a 3-year-old on this arm, and I'd be pulling this wagon with this 50-pound pumpkin to the front. And do you know how many pumpkin guts are in a 50-pound pumpkin? That is not what you want to do. I would go to the Christmas tree farm, and I would cut down a cedar tree because they were $10. And I would cut this tree down. I don't know why I just like to be so rugged. And I would haul this thing up to my second-floor apartment that had this little, like, vault in the living room. And I would put it up, and I would still have to cut 6 foot of the tree off the top because I just like big stuff, right? So when we were doing our first building project, David and I together, I'm pretty sure it was 1999. I was just coming out of the corporate world, and we were going to raise horses, and we had a horse farm. We were going to breed these babies, and so we need a barn to do this because we don't have a barn, so we're going to build a barn. I call up Franklin County and say, "Hey, I need some permits. Can I get some permits to build a barn, please? What do I got to do?" And they said, "Oh, you don't need a permit to build a barn in Franklin County." And I said, "Oh, really? Okay, what if you want to build a really big barn? Then do you need a permit?" They said, "No. What are you going to do?" I'm going to say, "I'm going to have horses, maybe one day a tractor." They said, "Build your barn." I said, "Come on, baby, let's go to work." So we went to Hood's. Y'all know what Hood's is? Hood's is not like a real hardware store. There's these random couple of these across St. Louis area, and half their stuff looks like somebody else has already used it. So I found these really cool windows, and they were gorgeous, and they were like $50. And he's like, "What are you buying windows for a barn for?" I said, "Baby, our barn's going to be pretty. I have to look at this thing." And he's like, "What?" Then we bought lumber. And how many of you know if something's on sale, you'll buy it whether you need it or not? You know what I'm talking about? So I'm buying all this junk, and I draw it up and what I want to do. We call this outfit out of Oklahoma. And this is the barn that David and I built in 1999. Wow. I like big stuff. I like big stuff, and I cannot lie. I got the big other stuff that goes in there, too. That's why I wear these little sweaters that go down to the floor. It's just a whole nother subject. I just like big stuff, and there's no wonder that Faith Church is so big. We just like to build big things. And you know, Jesus himself was a builder. And how many of you know God does not do anything small? God is into the big. He made the whole world. He made all the people. He made all the grass. He made all the animals. He likes to do things big. And when Jesus was a carpenter, he was building. And you know, I think he was building, maybe he was building chairs, but they didn't really have chairs in that part of the time. Maybe he was building houses. Maybe he was building shelves. Maybe he was actually building bridges. But Jesus was a carpenter for the first 30 years of his life. But I happen to think that after Jesus built things for 30 years. I think 30 years later, as he started his ministry, I don't think he quit building. I think he stopped building things with wood, and I think he started building a bridge between God and man. Because there is a life that we have right now, but it is not the life that God wants for us. And you might be thinking, well, hey, I mean, my life is going okay. I got a job. Everybody's healthy. I've got my significant other. Things are going good. But I mean, life is all right now. But how many of you know, even if life is all right now, there were times in life that you needed God to move on your behalf. You needed God to do something. Okay, so you're telling me that only like 100 y'all ever needed God in his life. How many can give God a good amen because he has done something for you? Yeah. God has saved my bacon. I am here to tell you more than one time, if you put bacon in a room that was how many times God saved me, this whole church would be full of bacon. All the pigs would be gone out of the state. Right? God has saved our bacon. And you might be in a place right now where you think that, well, but this place in life that I'm at right now, I do need God to move. I do need God to save me. I do need God to act on my behalf. And I'm here to tell you right now, this life that God has for you, it's better than the life you have right now. The life that you have right now, God has a better life. The life God has for you is better than this. And I actually think, well, I want you to just say that with me. I want you to say, the life God has for me, it's better than this. Ooh, y'all are strong. Do that again, because this brings energy. Say, the life God has for me, it's better than this. You see, when you build a bridge, the two builders start on the two opposite ends of the water, and they work their way together. You don't start on one side and then go to the other. The concrete has to cure at the same time, and you have to work your way to the middle. So God is building the bridge, and we actually only have a short part of the bridge to build, but we're on this part of life, and the life God wants for us is over there. And how many of y'all know it's just a little bit out of my reach? I got a 33-inch inseam, and how many of you vote that I do not make that jump? Everybody vote right now. I'm just not going to make that by myself. I mean, if I was a really good jumper, I probably could. But this step is too big for me. But God doesn't want us to get stuck on this side of the bridge. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plans I have for you. They're for good and not for evil, to bring you to an expected end. He actually gives another version of that is plans to prosper you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. You see, the life that God has for you, the word in the Bible is Zoe. It's a Zoe kind of life. It's the God kind of life. And if you're wondering what kind of life that is, it's got it all over the scripture, what kind of life God wants you to live. Matter of fact, it's, he wants you to live in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's Galatians 5. He wants you to have all of that. He said in John 10:10, I came that you might have life. Not just life that you can get through. No, life more abundantly. We serve a God, Ephesians 3:20. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine. And I like to build big barns, y'all. But God is bigger than that. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're supposed to be blessed lying down, blessed rising up, blessed going in, blessed going out. You know what? He says, let them shout for joy and be glad. Yea, let them favor my righteous cause. Let them say, let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. It says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and there's no sorrow that goes with that richness in your soul, in your pocketbook, in your life, and in your relationships. God has a great life for us. The life God has for me, it's better than this. Amen? Amen. But how we get there? Don't you think that right now? Don't you want to know, how do we get there? You see, God, and there's this joke. There's this joke about God not even know how to build the bridge. There's this guy named Johnny, man. He's been married like 4 times. He's a good Christian, man. He reads his Bible. He tries. He goes to church. But he just can't seem to stay married. So he's walking on the beach. He's depressed. And God feels bad for him. He's like, I just want to bless Johnny. So he says, Johnny, what do you want? I want to give you something you want. I want to bless you. Johnny says, well, I'm scared to fly, and I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. Would you build a bridge to Hawaii for me? God's like, man, that takes resources. It takes time. It takes people. It's just engineering. He's like, that's going to be such a problem. Johnny, you pick anything else in the universe, and I will do that for you. Johnny's like, well, I've been married 4 times, and they all say that I just don't get them. I just don't understand their needs. God, I'm asking for you to help me to understand women. That's not even the punchline of the joke. And God in heaven pauses for a second, and he said, Johnny, you want that bridge to be 2 lanes or 4? We might not know how to get across that bridge, but that's what I'm here to show you today. You know, I remember a moment that I had when I was left from my mom's house one time, and life had just calmed down a little bit. I'd gone through all the craziness with my ex-husband, and I'd gotten right with God, and I'd gotten away from him, and life was good. And I remember leaving my mom's house, and I had my cell phone, which was like this big, and it was like this thick, and it had the antenna that you had to pull up, and it had the flip thing that you had to pull down, and you almost had to hold it with 2 hands, right? And I called my mom, and I said, Mom, I don't know what I have to do in the rest of my life, but I know this, I have to help people miss what I have just gone through. I gotta tell somebody. I don't know if that means going to high school. I don't know if that means talking to kids, but people have to miss what I just went through because it hurts and it is hard. And if they can miss it, if I can share and they can miss it, Mom, I wanna do that. And what I didn't realize is I was in an okay place in my life. It was actually good for where my life had been. But the life that God had for me was so much better than this. What I didn't realize in the moment was that was the first time that God had put a call on my life to start speaking to people, for God to help them in their life to miss what I had been through. Y'all know that one song. What is that song? It's a country sing. You're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. I hope you miss it. What's that guy's name? Tall guy. He was on the show. He was on the fired show, apprentice show. 3 seconds. Ding, 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 ding. Thanks, because that was going to bug me the whole time. And I was going to be thinking about who is that guy? 3 seconds. It's an awesome song. You should download it. It will make you cry every time. I don't even like country music. So this is so not on my script. But anyway, so they came up with this new station, and they are going to play country music and rap music on the same station, and the name of the station is Crap. I made that up. It's not true. So I'm going to give y'all three building blocks to connect that bridge between the life we are now and the life that God has for us, because life God has for me, it's better than this. And no matter where you are in life, I'm claiming that as my promise today. Life is good for me, but I'm here to tell you now that the life God has for me, it's better than this right now, today. And we're going to talk about how to get there. Amen?
Amen.
So the first building block is building our relationship with God. You know, to build your relationship with God, you got to get into his presence. And I'm so proud of the 11:45 crowd coming, because, you know, the Rams play their opening game at noon today. And we were wondering who was going to come to church. And you made it. You did it. You came to church. Say, I came to church. Say, I win. And I'm so proud of you, because the thing that is going on in life today is we don't get in God's presence. And when we get in God's presence, that's where things change. That's where you can hear his voice. It's not that God runs away from us. It's that we run away from God. I mean, there are so many people who haven't even joined the church and become a member. There's so many folks who haven't taken the time yet to get baptized. And what we do is we pencil God into our schedule, yet we want him to write our name in the Lamb's Book of Life with Jesus' blood. And pencil and Jesus' blood, they aren't on the same side of the scale. And God's just saying, come on, ink me in, make a commitment to me. And when you make a commitment to God, when you're close to him, you can hear his voice, and he can tell you things you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things, the fenced in things, the hidden things that nobody knows. I will show that to you, and you have the answer to the question you didn't have before. How many of you need to know whether to gift the client, get rid of the client, sell the house, keep the house, date the guy, don't date the guy, get married, don't get married, keep the job, leave the job, make a move, whip the kid, don't whip the kid, get him in school, keep him out of school, homeschool, don't kill him, Jesus, just let me not kill him, Jesus. How many of you need some knowledge from God? Come unto me. Get connected. Ink God in. Commit your ways to the Lord. And that's where joining a church, you know, they don't give away any bozo buttons to churches for having a number of members. I don't even know anybody in the world that tracks actually churches' memberships, because, you know, nobody probably knows how many people's a member of their church anyway. Church membership isn't about the church. Church membership is about you showing your loyalty to God. You telling him, I have a house. God, I have a temple. I know where you are. I know when they meet. I am committed to you, and I am committed to your house, and I have some roots, God. You know what I'm talking about? And getting baptized. You know, we pray that salvation prayer every single week, and in that moment, you get saved. But there is a next step that you're supposed to take soon, and you're supposed to get saved, and then you get baptized. Even Jesus got baptized. He was obedient to his Father. It's part of going to heaven. Get saved, get baptized. And we have a baptism coming up. Matter of fact, you have one of those forms. In your bulletin today, we did something different. I want y'all to grab this out of your bulletin. In your bulletin today is this, and then there's another form that talks about the iConnect groups that happen at Faith Church, and we'll talk about those in a minute. But this gives you an opportunity right on the back. You don't have to go online. You don't have to wait in line at the info desk. But if you haven't become a member of Faith Church, and this is your home church. This is where you go to church. It's time to change that, y'all. It's time to let God know, put me on the rolls because I'm for real. And then baptism. If you haven't been baptized, don't be scared to be baptized. And you might have a question. I was Catholic. Catholics, we get sprinkled when we're babies, right? We don't remember it. And you might be wondering, am I baptized? Am I not baptized? Am I supposed to get baptized? I mean, I was baptized when I was 10, but then I was a Hellcat till I was 45, and now I'm 50. Do I get baptized again? I don't know what to do. I just called out Faith Church. Everybody in the room is like, me. But, you know, that's what, you don't have to wonder what to do. Here's what you do. You go get baptized. You commit your way to the Lord. There is nothing in the Bible that says, if you're unsure, commit your way to the Lord. Because when you take one step towards God, he takes 10 steps towards you. And you don't have to be scared of baptism. We do not hold you down until you find Jesus. He's not under there. He is up here. But when you go down, you identify with him being buried and dying. When you come up, you identify with his resurrection and coming again. You leave your old man down here. You find your new man in Christ up here. And things do change, not just in the natural, but they change in the spirit. And you're going to feel very much like you did yesterday naturally, but spiritually, everything has changed in heaven and on earth for you when you get baptized. So I want you to fill that out. So ushers, do I have ushers around? You might have like five people in your family that you want to join, five people in your family that want to get baptized, and there's one form. So we got ushers here ready to hand out more forms. So if you want a form, you just raise your hand right now. I see hands everywhere, ushers. Yes, go to work. I tell you what, God is in heaven right now, and he is happy, and the angels rejoice when people make decisions like this. So you know what? Let's just take a praise break for 1 second and say, glory to God, glory to God. We don't come to church to get through the week. We come to church to build a better life. Because God doesn't want us to just go to church and get a brick and be like, okay, well, this is the brick I need to make it through this week. If they can, oh, that preacher can just give me something to get through the week. I mean, I just need something to get through the week. And, oh, God, yes. Thank you, God. I made it through the week. Gosh, these things are heavy. I just made it through the week. We're not supposed to come once and just wait and see what else God can do for us. We're supposed to take a step towards him and step out towards him. And I'm so proud of all of you who raised your hands and all of you that had the forms, and you're filling those out right now. Everybody say, build your relationship, with God. Yeah. Okay, building block number two, build your relationship with other Christ followers. What does that mean? It means get the right they in your life. Show me your friends, I will show you your future. If you are still messing with those crazy people, they're going to pull you back to crazy town. And once you leave crazy town, once you leave the craziness, it doesn't mean that you can't leave a hand down, but just leave your hand, don't leave your whole body. The rest of your body should be up here, surrounded by the right hand. And God calls us to have a hand down to help the poor and the needy, and to have a hand up connected to him and Christ's followers at all times, so we don't get pulled into balance, because the enemy will try and pull you down, but God is pulling you up. And whoever you lean to, that's who wins, because we have the deciding vote. Amen? And when you surround yourself with the right they, which is that I connect part, so I'm giving you permission to ignore me just a little bit, because I want you to pull out that I connect sheet and look at the I connects that are meeting all around town right now, because they are the right they in your life. And in Mark 2, it tells a story about a man who was paralyzed, and as he was paralyzed, he just can't move, right? I mean, I think that's such a great picture of so many people right now, that they do come to church, but they can't move. They're like, I'm stuck. I'm stuck in a rut. I can't make this change. I can't get out of this funk. I can't get out of this depression. I can't get out of this spot. I can't get rid of this tumor. I'm stuck. They're paralyzed right where they're at. And he wasn't able to get to Jesus on his own. He needed the right they around him. So this dude, man, he had four crazy friends, and they're like crazy in a good way. And they're like, hey, man, we heard about this guy, Jesus. He's a preacher, and he prays for people, and they get healed. It is awesome. We got to get you there. Now, if he had four friends who are like, man, I got a softball game. You know, I got to go barbecue with Bubba and them. No way, man. It's Sunday is our family dinner day. He would have never gotten healed. But he had four crazy friends. Everybody say four crazy friends. And they're like, we're going to take you there. So they take him there, and they have to pick his little hide up and carry him all the way to this meeting where Jesus is at. And when they get to the meeting, the whole house is so full of people, they can't get in the house. All around the house is crowded with people. They can hardly get through the crowd to get to the house. And the paralyzed man said, that's it. I'm just going to be stuck the rest of my life. And his four crazy friends said, uh-uh, not with us as friends, you're not. They climb up to the roof of the house. They pull the man up, and they cut a roof in the ceiling. I'm just here to tell you, if Faith Church ever gets so full that you can't get in, if you cut a roof in the ceiling, bring your checkbook, because we're going to need to repair it. And so they open up the ceiling and they lower him down to Jesus. And when they lower him down to Jesus, Jesus lays hands on that man and he was carried in paralyzed, but he walked out on his own accord. And Jesus is the one who healed him, but they would have never gotten him to Jesus if they weren't there. He needed the right they in their life. They built a bridge to connect their friend to Jesus. Who is the right they in your life? The right they in your life you find in small groups and iConnect groups, people you can develop deeper relationship with. It wasn't that long ago we had an accident in our house. How many of you know with dogs, kids, people, junk, stuff on the floor, you have accidents, you end up going to the emergency room sometimes. Stuff just happens, right? So it's 3 a.m, we have an accident in our house, and Ashton is sleeping. My family is out of town, David's family's out of town. I don't have any family to call, and I don't want to wake my baby up and take her to the hospital. It's going to scare her, right? So I make one phone call. I make one phone call to some people, to a family here in this church that we meet with every week, that we pray with every week, that we ask each other, what is the state of your soul? And we pray together and we meet together. It's basically the iConnect group that we are in. I made one phone call, and at 3 a.m., this family answered their phone. They said, you need us. We will be right there. Don't you worry about it. And my baby was taken care of because we've surrounded ourselves with the right they. I tell you what, the right they is the people that will hold you up. The right they is the people that will pray for you. The right they are the people who are going to make sure you don't get stuck. The right they are going to help you hold it together when you think you're going to lose it. And you might be thinking, I know, but I'm shy. I'm scared to meet people. It's kind of awkward. I don't remember names, God. And, oh, that's cool. You're going to show up the first week. It's going to be weird, and you're going to forget people's name, and they're going to call you the wrong name, and it's going to be all right. I know this because a couple of months ago, I lived through somebody meeting me and David and them calling me David's ex-wife first name. Yeah. This contractor, right? He's wanting to do some work for us, and we're like, hey, yeah, we need to do some work, so we got to meet him. And he shakes our hand. He's like, David, nice to meet you. And he shakes my hand and calls me another name, and I immediately turn on the hate eyes, and I look at David. And I look at the contractor. I'm like, drop dead in my head. You know, I'm just thinking this. I'm like, can't believe you just called me your name. I said, do you two know each other? Like, from before today, you know each other. Like, you guys had a past relationship that you didn't bother tell me about. When somebody calls you your husband's ex's name, you just get red automatically. It's all right, Jesus forgives you. Y'all are like, oh, we know not of what you speak. We live such a holy life. So he's like, no, I just met you guys for the first time. I said, good, because you just called me my husband's ex-wife's name. And he's like, no, I'm so sorry. I'm like, that's fine. You can still have the job. And I forgave him, eventually, I think, because I'm still talking about it. It's okay, man. Things are going to happen when you're first meeting people. But what happens when you first meet them, that relationship cultivates, that relationship develops. And I tell you what, we can all hang separately or we can all hang together. And it is so much better to do life together with people around you who love God and love you. So everybody say, build relationship with other Christ followers. Them are heavy. My arms are just not that big. Yeah, they're sticking. They like my sweater though, don't they? And then the third building block, build a life of purpose. You know what just threw my heart? God, I'm going to cry. When I said the third building block is everybody, I saw so many heads go down to write that down, put that in their phone and take a note. When you take God's word seriously, he takes you serious, y'all. That is just moving. That is awesome. God sees that in heaven. God sees you take him serious and you thrill his heart. You're his baby. You're his child. And when you're in a tough spot, he doesn't sit in heaven and just go, well, they're in a tough spot. Which they call out to me? No, he's in heaven with Jesus at his right hand in anguish going, call upon my name. Let me help you, please. I am here for you. I can show you a way out. It's like your kid when they're in the batting and they've got two strikes and you're like, baby, I tell you to put your elbow up. Put your elbow up. And you just want them to put their elbow up so that you would do it. You would go out there. You would move it for them, but you know they'll kill you. You're restrained. You can't do it, but God wants to do it for you. And he's in heaven saying, please, baby, please, baby, please. I'm telling you, let me help you build this bridge. Come to me. All you are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God wants you to rest. God wants you to be happy. God wants you in peace, and God wants you blessed. That wasn't my message either, so that was free. Everybody say, build a life of purpose.
Build a life
of purpose. So you want to be significant. You want life to people. What is the meaning of life? What is the purpose? Why am I here? You know, the cool thing about the word is it gives you the answers in his word. And in Matthew 20, it says, whoever wishes to be greatest among you, they got to be your servant. And whoever desires to be first, me first. I hate waiting in line. God, give me patience right now, because if you don't give it to me right now, I might kill somebody. God, give me patience. I want to be first. He wants to be first. They must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man, and that's Jesus, came not to be waited on, but to serve. And he gave his life for the ransom for many, a price paid to set them free. God gave Jesus. Jesus gave his life. And what he wants from us is to give him some loyalty, to give him some commitment, to connect with him and with other people, and to build a life of purpose in serving. You know, there's no place on that form to mark serving. You know, we didn't put it all on there. You know why? We don't want to
overwhelm everybody and give them too many choices.
But you know what? I have more faith in you than that. If you're not a member, you're going to mark membership. If you're not baptized, you're going to mark baptism. If you're not in an iConnect, you're going to find that list and something that fits, you're going to mark that. And if you're not serving, just write on there real big, I like to talk. We'll make you a greeter. I'm good with kids. We'll put you in children's ministry. You know, I'm shy. We'll put you at a computer. I build stuff. I'll put you on my team. Right? There's something, whatever God gifted and talented you with, he did that on purpose, because when you serve him with your gift, you fulfill your purpose. But we start doing is we start trying to fix our own bridge. You're like, you know what I need? I need more leadership skills, so I'm going to read a leadership book. Or you know what I need? I need more development, so I'm going to read a development book. You know what I need? I just had a hard day. I need Girl Scout cookies and ice cream stat. I mean, the whole Ben and Jerry's, get your own carton and I'd only need one spoon. Or somebody better pour me a stiff drink, because it was that kind of day. Or I know I quit drugs, but I just need something to cover up the pain, just one more time to cover it up. We try to fix our own wagon. We try to build our own bridge. We try to do it our way. And we say, well, you know, I don't have time to serve. I just don't have that kind of time. But we have time to complain to our mama, and we have time to be miserable, and we have time to try and fix ourselves. And get this, you can't build your bridge. The only way to build your bridge is to build somebody else's. So when you go and you pick up these blocks and you're around the right day and you start helping them, when you start help serving in the church, when you go ahead and give up one service to be in the nursery so that single mama can have a moment to focus on Jesus, whenever you take that block and you put it in place, you just put a block not in their bridge, you put a block in your bridge to close up that gap between you and God. It won't sustain the weight of what we wanted to sustain when we build it ourselves. There was a church in Fenton. It was our church back before we had the Sunset Hills campus. And David and I had both been preaching different conferences. That's what we did before we had the Florida campuses. We just preached all over the world. And he flew in from one city and I flew in from another. And we met in San Diego to preach at this conference together. And we flew in the day. We didn't have to preach the next day. We went to the movies. It was a date night. It was awesome. There was no Ashton. There was no Austin. There was no church people. Woo, we had a date night. Put on your red dress. I was like, baby, it ain't red, it's blue, but you can imagine. So we're sitting in this movie and my phone starts blowing up. I'm like, not on my date night. I'm not answering. It's the church. So I just hit decline. We're in the movie. The phone rings again. I decline. The phone rings again. I decline. They call me the fourth time in a row. I'm like, David, I have to answer this real quick. I'm like, y'all, I'm on a date with my husband. Because if I had just said on my date, that would have sounded weird. I'm like, I'm on a date with my husband. Leave me alone. They're like, Pastor Nicole, hate to bother you. The roof of the children's ministry just fell in. You see, what they had done is they make this crazy roof and they put down this tar paper and then they put gravel on it. They did that in 1980. Well, in 1990, it started to leak. So they put more tar paper down and they put more gravel on it. Well, it started to leak again in, like, you know, 1997. So they put more tar paper down and they put more gravel on it. And then it started to leak again. I think this was 2006 or 7. So they put more tar paper down and they put more gravel on it. And so all this weight started coming, and what it was built to sustain so much weight, but when that so much more got put on it, when the pressure, when the depression, when the job, when the layoff, when the diagnosis, when the people acting crazy got put on it, it came falling to the ground. And the only thing that can hold that kind of thing up is Jesus, because he is the rock, he is the cornerstone. On this rock he has built his church. And then we can get to the life that God wants us to have. We don't got to struggle to get back and forth. We just traverse and say, I'm not staying here anymore. The life God has for me is better than this. Amen? Amen. So here's what we're going to do. Go ahead and get that form out. Fill it out, because we're going to bring it up to the front here in 1 second. I'm going to tell you a story about two brothers, and then Pastor Omar, Adrian, Pastor Morgan, Pastor Phil, campus pastor from Weldon Spring, they're going to join me on the stage. The worship team's going to sing Amazing Grace. We're going to sing along with them. And people are going to come up here, and when they come up, we're going to pray with them and bless them, because we're going to just be the voice of God back to you, because God sees what you do. You just might not hear him saying, good job, child. And so we're going to say that on their behalf. So go ahead and get those forms out, because we're going to move. We're going to make this public. And I know we don't do this at Faith Church all the time, but it's really cool. And when you watch people move, you're going to be moved. I've loved being at every service. I had to, you can ask Chris, I had to put my makeup on between every single service, because I just keep crying my makeup off. Because I know how pleased God is, and I know how different your life is going to be. Because this was not a message to get you through next week, or about your marriage, or about your kids, or about how to lead better in life. This message was constructed to change your life, so things won't be different, just not next week or next month. Things won't be different at all, because it's building those blocks. It's getting you somewhere. It is moving you out of here to the there, and the there is the life that God wants for you to have. So there's two brothers. They'd farmed together for 40 years and they had loved each other. They were so tight, ate together every night. They end up getting in some stupid fight. The stupid fight blows up. They ended up exploding. And the love somehow turns to hate, and they can't stand each other anymore. The younger brother actually takes a bulldozer and cuts a creek in between their two properties, so you can't even get from here to there anymore. Makes the older brother so mad he can't see straight. So a carpenter, he shows up with his little tool bag, says, hey, I need some work. Is there anything I can do for you? And the older brother said, yeah, you know what? I want you to build an 8-foot fence, because my younger brother owns that other property and we worked together for 40 years. He was my best friend, but he has hurt me so deep, nothing can ever repair it. And then he just put that creek, that great divide between us. So I want you to build an 8-foot fence so I never have to see his face and I never have to see his place again. I'm over it. Carpenter said, I can do that. I need work. I'm going to do a job that pleases you. He said, well, I got to go to town for the day. When I come back tonight, we'll settle up at the end of the day. So the carpenter got to work. He had the tools. You see, the thing that we're doing, the new member reception that happens in October, there's a baptism this very Tuesday night. And so if you want to get baptized right away, you can. You can be at Sunset Hills Campus Tuesday night at 7 o'clock and we will baptize you. Or you might be like me and you like to plan stuff. So we have another one in November so you can get postcards and invite your whole family and have a barbecue afterwards and celebrate it. The iConnect groups, that's just work for the church to coordinate all that, get it all together, keep it all separated, make sure all the doors are open, lights are on, doors are closed, lights are off, you know, get the curriculum for it. It's a lot of trouble for the church. But what the church can't do is to tell you what to do and then not give you the tools to do it. So there's a lot of people going to a lot of trouble to make sure you have the tools that you need to get to that next place. And they do it with such happy hearts. So the carpenter goes to work, and when the farmer comes back at the end of the night, his eyes just like freak out open and his jaw drops, and he starts running at the carpenter. He's going to tear that man up, because he didn't build a fence. He built a bridge from one side of the creek to the other. He was going to kill that carpenter. He's like, no way, not on my property. And he starts running to the carpenter. And just about the time he starts to get to the carpenter, his brother is running towards the bridge. But he's not running angry. He's running with his arms open. And the brother looks at the younger brother. They stop at both sides of the bridge. And the younger brother says, brother, I am so sorry for what I have done. And after all I've done and all the hateful things I've said, you still build this bridge to stay connected to me. Forgive me for everything I did to you, please. And the brothers meet in the middle and they hug. The carpenter picks up his toolbox, starts to head off. And the older brother said, hey, don't leave. I have other jobs for you to do. He said, I would love to stay and do more jobs for you. But right now there are more bridges for me to build.
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com.